You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. The education team at Thomas Pocklington Trust have recently launched a new campaign urging the government to take action towards more inclusive education for blind and partially sighted students. Their recent report outlines five essential building blocks for how the government can work with TPT to make sure students receive what they're entitled to and thrive in their studies. We're joined today by Lucy Merritt from TPT to learn more. Hi Lucy, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi Amelia.
So can you give us an overview of the current state of the Special Educational Needs and Disabilities System, or the SEND system, and how it's impacting students?
Yeah, of course. So we know that the current Special Education Need and Disability System, the SEND system, is in crisis. And this crisis has been widely recognised and has been subject to recent debate in Parliament and also to lots of media attention. It's not new. The SEND system has been in crisis for a long time, but it is culminating into something which is more significant for young people at the moment. So we're grateful that there is some attention being paid to that situation. Because vision impairment is a low incidence disability, within the debates around the SEND crisis, we're not seeing a lot of conversation around the experiences of blind or partially sighted students. So that's in part why we've launched our campaign. We know, because of recent research by the RNIB, that three quarters of VI education services have seen their budgets frozen or cut in the last year. And that's on top of services which have already been under strain and in the context of growing caseloads. And all of that is adding up to children, young people with vision impairment struggling to get the support that they're entitled to. And that includes their specialist VI support, as well as the more mainstream reasonable adjustments that they should be getting as part of their education. And also seeing that families of children and young people are having to put in enormous efforts to fight to secure the right support.
And this is coming after COVID, which already put a lot of stress on the educational system, and we know has impacted the sight of young people, because there are more incidences of short-sightedness after young people using more screens. So it's a really key time, as you say, to try and address this and make sure that things improve going forward. Why did TPT think right now was the right moment to focus on this?
Well, obviously we have the new government in place, and the new government have recognised the crisis within SEND. Catherine McKinnell, the Minister for Schools, has spoken publicly about it on a number of occasions, and they have made commitments to work towards improving the SEND system. And we want to help and support the government and other policy decision makers to get that policy right and to make sure that that policy does address those experiences of blind and partially sighted students in education. So our report addresses what we think the priorities are, and also what we think some of the solutions might be to help and guide government towards making policy which improves those outcomes and experiences for blind and partially sighted children, young people in education.
Yeah, and you've laid out five key building blocks for ways to address the crisis moving forward. Can you give us an overview?
So the five building blocks came through conversations with lots of young people. So it's kind of founded on the student experience. So at Thomas Pocklington Trust, we've got our student support service. So lots of the things that we've heard through there has informed what those building blocks are. And we also have a group of Young Voice and Student Voice volunteers, and conversations with them has helped us to identify what those priority areas should be. So we are calling for the curriculum framework for children, young people with vision impairment to be adopted into policy. And that's to ensure that all children and young people get access to the specialist VI education that they're entitled to whilst they're in secondary and further education. So that's to ensure that all children and young people get access to the specialist education that they're entitled to from ages 0 to 25. Secondly, we're making calls around post 16. So at Thomas Pocklington Trust, we've long been campaigning around getting blind and partially sighted young people better access to further education college, because we often see that that's an area where support drops off. So we're calling on the government to put in some proper ring-fenced funding to ensure that blind and partially sighted students have equitable access to further education. Our third building block is around assistive technology. We know that assistive technology is a complete game changer for many blind and partially sighted people. And it's really important that the access to assistive technology training and the technology itself is scaffolded appropriately throughout a child or young person's education. But what we're seeing at the moment is that that isn't really happening. There's a lack of clarity around where that training should come from and who's responsible for providing that technology. So we're calling on the government to have a strategic review of assistive technology to make sure that children and young people and students in education get access to the technology they need in order to access their education, but also then to go on and thrive through into adulthood and the workplace. The fourth building block is for the government to ensure that education policy delivers for blind and partially sighted students. So this is in the context of the current SEND crisis. The government have announced the development of a children's wellbeing bill and also that they'll review the national curriculum. And we really welcome both of those things, but it's really important that within that policy development, that the experiences of blind or partially sighted students are considered and that there's actions within that policy to improve those experiences and outcomes. And then finally, we are making calls to improve access and experiences in higher education for blind or partially sighted students. There's an incredible piece of work called the Disabled Student Commitment, which was launched by the Disabled Student Commission over a year ago. And that commitment, it's almost like a charter mark, which is voluntary at the moment, sets out how universities can become more inclusive for their disabled students. We want to see that made mandatory for all universities, so all universities move towards having a more strategic approach to meeting the needs of their disabled students, towards becoming truly inclusive.
Can you tell us a bit more about what kind of support you're hoping the campaign might lead to?
Yeah, so what our research at Thomas Pocklington Trust has found is that access to statutory VI service support, so for example, a qualified teacher with vision impairment, can completely drop off as a student moves from secondary into further education if that student decides to go to a further education college, which is a different picture to whether they decide to stay on in their sixth form college where there's much better continuity of support. And of course, for children, young people, and their families, they're having to make difficult decisions at a difficult transition point. But what we're seeing for blind and partially sighted children, young people, time and time again, is that they're making decisions around where they think the support is going to be provided for them, rather than what educational pathway might be the best one for them in terms of their longer term career aspirations, which is a huge inequality which is baked into the education system at the moment. So we want to make sure that some of the technicalities around how that funding for specialist support in post 16 is offered properly accounts for access to those specialist VI services to enable an equity of support regardless of the pathway of education that a young person decides to take at post 16, opening those doors to further education for them.
And I suppose that's also very linked to the lack of consistency and what universities provide as well, because rather than the strongest establishment for what they're studying, it will be a case of whether this university will be able to provide me with the basic adjustments and support that I need.
Absolutely. And we often get students phone us and they want to know what is the best university to go to, for example, if you're a visually impaired student for a particular subject. And actually, there isn't really an answer to any of that. And we want to move towards a system where all universities are set up to support all disabled students, including students with a vision impairment, and that they have systems and processes in place to make sure that they can make the adjustments that are required in a timely way so that students can thrive and succeed in their education and then use those skills to make an easy transition into the workplace.
The assistive technology is a really important building block in this plan. As you say, it's important that people are able to have some idea of how to use the tools in the workplace and have a toolkit of multiple different things. So, can you give us more detail on that step and how you'd like that to be different going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that children and young people, whilst they're in education, get really patchy support around their assistive technology. And some of them might be receiving fantastic support, but some of them might be getting very limited support. And the types of technology that they're getting access to as part of their education doesn't necessarily then support them to transition through their stages. So, for example, a young person might be given access to an iPad whilst they're in secondary school, which might well support their needs there, but when they move on to the next stage of study at further education and higher education, actually, there's some more different technology that they need to have access to and a proficiency around assistive technology that they might not have been exposed to, which then culminates in some of the gaps we see there around blind to partially sighted people being able to access the workforce equitably. So we want to move the government towards doing a proper review of this. We know that QTVIs provide some support around assistive technology, but they don't necessarily have the time to do that properly or the expertise to keep up with what is a very fast-paced market around technology where new products are coming on the market all the time. So we want the government to have a look at that and determine who should be the best people to provide that technology training and indeed who should properly be responsible for providing that technology as a student moves through their education. So there's a real consistent and clear path, and that those outcomes in terms of ensuring that all blind to partially sighted children and young people are being given the opportunity to develop confidence and proficiency around that technology in a way that will then support them through the rest of their lives is guaranteed for them as whilst they're in their education.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing updates about how the campaign is continuing from TPT. But for now, if people want to stay updated, where is the best place for them to do that?
So please visit our website, pocklington.org.uk, and under the education section there, we'll be keeping that up to date with our progress on those calls to action for government. And also you can follow us on social media. So please follow us on Facebook, X, LinkedIn and Instagram.
Well, thank you so much, Lucy Merritt from Thomas at Pocklington Trust, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.